What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yesterday at around 5 o'clock, Sean Morash did a Cinco de 5-0. It was a good one, maybe one of the best ones he ever did. He did a list counting down the worst losses of this Mets season. And little did I know that a few hours later, I would actually witness the worst loss of the Mets season. Because in so many ways, the way they lost Thursday was worse than any other loss for this reason, Teak. They got good starting pitching out of Kodai Senga.
5 2/3.
I actually agreed with Carlos Mendoza taking him out. Some disagree. More on that later. They got clutch hitting. Even though they didn't score a lot of runs, they responded to the Braves taking the lead in the sixth inning by Lindor getting a clutch hit, stealing second, by Alonso coming through with the leading hit, Nimmo getting a sack fly. And it was all set up for the one part of this team that you would think you have confidence in, which is the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Helsley comes out with his theme song and the lights and the Hell's Bells, and he choked. And for the Mets to lose a game in which all of those little things were going right, the clutch hitting, the quality starting pitching, to lose that game, to me, in a lot of ways, was worse than anything they've done because it felt like all was right with the world. Like, I'm sitting there in the ballpark in the eighth inning saying, I can't write this any better.
Right.
Well, clutch hitting, good starting pitching. Now they're going to go win a game and they're going to win a series.
The problem is it was the Braves. That was the biggest problem because for whatever reason, you can't beat the damn Braves.
They can't beat anybody, Tate.
But forget it. Forget anybody. I know they've lost 13 of 15, and that's not all the Braves, obviously. But it feels like no matter what, Braves are dead. They're sinking. They are falling. Yeah. Their pitching is all of them are floating over four. Some of them are going towards seven, except for when they play the Mets. It's almost like it's a curse. It's almost like no matter how good, and you laid it all out. I mean, they manufactured a run. It was pretty amazing. Lindor gets on. He steals. Soto gets on. He steals 36 straight without being caught. And they get a RBIs. I mean, it was kind of perfect.
Yes.
It was lined up to be perfect. And then all of a sudden, it just sinks away like that. And it's not even a six-run blown lead.
No.
It's just kind of like dink and dunk and RBI, double. Here we go. We beat you.
Yeah.
No matter how good you think you are, we are your daddy. That's what it feels like for the Braves with the Mets. It's almost like the Astros. Remember 2 years ago when the Yankees, this is before the Soto year, so the year before, it was like the Astros have zero fear, no matter how good or bad they are,
right,
of the New York Yankees.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like with the Atlanta Braves.
Well,
and it's going to be, it's your nemesis. And it just... this feel-good moment that happened a couple of days ago when Pete Alonso gets 253 and 254, and all right, we're turning the corner now, but we're still the Braves.
Yeah.
That was my takeaway.
They've won 7 of 10 against them this year in a year in which the Braves are well under 500.
Right.
It's a part of it that they can't beat the Braves. To me, it's bigger than that. It's they can't beat anybody.
True.
I mean, they've been a bad team for a long time, and even when the things that have been the most inconsistent actually show up, like the starting pitching and the clutch hitting, the other aspect of your team, which is supposed to be a strength, craps the bed.
Right.
And, you know, Francisco Lindor said something after the game. He is a great leader, and he is starting to wake up, which is a positive sign. But Lindor said, we win as a team, and we lose as a team. And he's so right. Every aspect of this team will contribute to a loss. Whether it's the starting pitching mostly, whether it's the clutch hitting, whether it's the defense last week with Brett Beatty, or in the case of last night with Ryan Helsley, it's the bullpen. And that's why as we sit here in the middle of August through this horrendous stretch, and yes, there's time, they're still in a playoff spot, though that'll go away by the end of the weekend, it's tough to believe things are going to turn when they always find ways to lose. They're the opposite of last year.
Yeah.
Instead of always finding ways to win, which is what good teams do, which is what they did in the first month of the season, it's the complete opposite. And last night was a great example of it, where things are going well. It's all set up to win a game and win a series and at least feel better about this team going into the weekend. And instead, one of the acquisitions, which I loved, we all love the acquisition of Ryan Helsley, but now we got to call it out. He has stunk as a Met.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the risk you have when you bring in relievers, especially guys who are closers, who are now asked to pitch the eighth inning. You never know what the results are going to be. And so far, the results have been awful. He needs to retire his intro. That's got to go away. I'm sorry. And you know, it's so funny.
Did it pump you up in real time?
So when the lights went out and the Hells Bells started, and I'll show this to you if you don't believe me. I recorded it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it set up to tweet out something, and I decided not to. I deleted it. I was going to tweet the video and say, you better not blow this game with an intro like that. And I said, you know what, Ev? Why be negative?
You know what? You should have sent it.
I should have?
Yeah. Because no matter what happens, if he doesn't, it's like, look, Evan was on it.
I know.
Evan got, he saw that tweet, even though he doesn't have his phone in the dugout, but whatever. He felt that tweet.
Right.
And so I had to be dialed in because Evan Roberts. And then if he does blow it like he did, it's like Evan was prophetic.
Yeah.
You made me get rid of the Hell's Bells.
I didn't want to say it because, like, Tommy even warned me yesterday. Yeah.
Then
like,
you become the mush. Right. Then you become the mush.
Why put the negativity in the air? But I thought it, especially because you're getting this big closer's intro like you're a superstar. What have you done for us? I mean, you are a fine pitcher for the Cardinals, and I love that Stearns traded for you, mm-hmm. but what have you done for us other than blow games? What have you done?
SNY has also tweeted that video and is getting dragged in the mentions, and we love
it. Well, because...
Really?
Yeah. Well, he tweeted it the moment he came out.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't cool, or it isn't cool, unless you're good. That's the thing about intros. Mm. Yoan Duran's got a great intro. He's good. Edwin Diaz has an awesome intro. He's good. We didn't love the Edwin Diaz intro in 2019 or 2021. Hmm. We loved it in 2022.
Was it the same in 19?
I think he changed it and then changed it back to the trumpets at some point in the middle of the 19 season.
I actually do remember that. So I remember people talking about how it was there and then it was gone and then it came back.
But the point is, you got to get the job done. And overall, as we sit here today and the Mets get set to play Seattle and we'll get to the Yankees who get set to play St. Louis, I don't know how anyone believes in this team. I don't know where you're coming from to believe. They've been garbage for 2 months, and last night, in a lot of ways, even if it's not the headline of blowing a 5-run lead or a 6-run lead, the fact that in your own building against a bad Brave team, with everything set up, it was all set up, they find a way to blow it, and then the offense, who has a chance to respond in the eighth and ninth inning, do nothing, led by Captain Solo Juan Soto, who comes up in a big spot and strikes out on three pitches like he had no chance. They felt dead in the last two innings last night. And as we sit here today, you could tell me all day what their record is and how much time they have, and I am not one who usually screams the house is on fire, but I'm telling you right now, the house is on fire. I have very little reason to believe this is going
to
turn.
Yeah, well, it's hard to when the Cincinnati Reds are right up your rear, half a game back in the wild card. But the good thing is, and I'm not positive Tommy's out today, but the good thing is that you still have a chance to even catch the Phillies. You have games in front of you that you can win and should win. But the counter to that is that your schedule is rough. It's all playoff teams, save the Braves, who you can't beat, and the Nationals, who interestingly beat the Phillies last night anyway. So it feels like there's an opportunity, but there's also the real likelihood that the Mets just keep sliding. And what happens if they do? If the Mets completely fall off the table and don't make the playoffs, what's the repercussion? Wait, what's David Stearns do? What's the fan is screaming and yelling, obviously.
Yeah.
But what happens if this happens? Nothing. You're just going to be young again next year with young pitchers, young position players. Got to make a decision on Pete. But what's going to change?
I have not.
Not firing your manager.
No, I wouldn't fire the manager. And I hate to say this to you, Tiggy. I don't have an answer for you yet. And maybe I don't have an answer because it's August 15th and I'm not giving up on the season.
Right.
I'm just telling you I don't have confidence it's going to turn.
I wouldn't either. I'm just telling you the reality of the season. You have a tough schedule.
Well, it's not even the schedule that scares me, Teague, though. You're right about some of the, like, Seattle's tough. I mean, the Mariners are one of the hottest teams in baseball this side of Milwaukee. Like, that's not going to be easy. So it's not even the schedule more than it is, are they good? Like, it's a simple question. Are the New York Mets any good? Okay, and have they given you any evidence that they're going to turn this around, considering they've been bad for 2 months now? And there really hasn't been any evidence.
Well, if you look at it from an individual player standpoint, is Kodai Senga good? Yes. Is Sean Manaea good? Yes. Is Clay Holmes, well, I won't go Clay Holmes, but he's slotted in to be your third guy. Has he been good this year as a starting pitcher? Yes, and it'll be miraculous if he gets through this entire season as a starter, which I don't know. Maybe he goes to the bullpen, but has the experiment worked in a big picture standpoint? Yes, he's been good. Do you still have the best closer in baseball or one of them? Yes. Is Pete Alonso a good player? Yes. Is Juan Soto a good player? Yes. Is Lindor? Yes. Nimmo? Yes. Right? All these answers are yes. On paper, they are a good team. For whatever reason, they suck as a team, though. And that's why it's, like, if you could scream and yell and say, you got to get rid of this guy, DFA this guy, he stinks, he stinks, he stinks, he stinks. You kind of have a solution in your mind.
Right.
There's no solution.
Yeah, the only, and it's not the solution, because I don't want to frame it this way. The thing that I've been passionate about, and we're going to get it on Saturday, is calling up some of the young, highly touted starting pitching.
Yes.
And it's going to happen with Nolan McLain.
Right.
Now,
but not Sproat.
Well, not yet with Brandon Sproat, right. But we'll see him. I can promise you this. By the time Labor Day hits, Brandon Sproat's going to make his major league debut.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? It may mean the answer. I mean, those guys could come up and dominate.
Right.
They could come up and be great. Or they can come up and struggle. You never know with young pitching. That's been one thing I've screamed about passionately. But you're right. There's no magic elixir other than guys need to be better. Like, I had this debate on the Rico last night. I heard Brandon give a great other side opinion to this earlier today on the Midday Show. I disagree with him, but I understood the Met fan who said, hey, Mendy should have kept Kodai Senga in. Now, I disagree with them. I thought that Senga was done. His command in the sixth inning started to become an issue when he walked Matt Olson and even fell behind Michael Harris before he gave up the base hit. And I trust the Met bullpen. Mm-hmm. Like, the Met bullpen is their strength. And I got 5 2/3 out of Kodai Senga. I'm happy. I say, you know what? I got the best out of him. Let me go to my bullpen.
Right.
This, to me, isn't about Mendoza. It's about the players. It's about performance. It's about the fact that even after Rodgers gave up the soft contact hit and the Mets were down by a run, so you could say Mendy screwed up, the Met offense responded. And then he goes to Ryan Helsley. And even though I would have done Diaz in the eighth inning instead of Helsley, that's a story for another day. You add your best players on the field.
Mm-hmm.
They need to perform.
Right.
Like when I sit here to try diagnose why the Mets have collapsed, yeah, there's plenty of moves I didn't like that Mendy did, but it's not Carlos Mendoza. And Mendy's falling to the same problem Aaron Boone falls to. We start to get angry about what he's saying after games.
Yes.
I don't care what he says after games.
Right.
They got to win.
Well, he's going to tell you the truth after games, and I think that's what pisses people off sometimes because they'd rather be lied to and then be mad at him because he lied at you.
I don't think they want him to lie. I think they want him to scream, Teague.
Well, yeah, probably. But you can't. It's still, 40 games ago. You still got a lot of baseball left to play. Screaming's not going to do anything. It'll make you feel good in the moment, but it's not going to change anything. And look, the debate you were talking about that you had and BT had as well about Senga, the one thing that you noticed watching this game on television, I don't know if you noticed it while you were actually at the ballpark, mm-hmm. Evan, but and they mentioned it. Keith mentioned it.
Yeah.
How when Kodai's throwing this forkball, and it's like his facial, you can tell he's putting every ounce of energy
right
to make the pitch, whatever one it is, whether he's trying to throw a fastball or he's throwing his fork, whatever it is. There's like so much energy. He was just spent. And if you're Carlos Mendoza, you can see it. Like, I could see it watching it on television.
I felt it just watching from way upstairs.
Yes.
I felt like his command in the sixth inning was a little off.
I'm talking about his effort. Like, like what his body was like.
But sometimes
it's like, okay, next one.
That was some imitation.
But that's what it looked like on television.
Okay.
So Mendy was right. He was. I think he was. He didn't have the power anymore. He didn't have the energy anymore.
Yeah, I think
to keep doing it.
I think this is one of those managerial moves that's a 50-50.
Right.
Like I see the other side. Sometimes I get pissed off and I don't see the other side.
Right.
I see the other side. I was more on his side of pulling him because I look at this bullpen and maybe I shouldn't with the way Ryan Helsley's pitched. And I say, boy, if I can get to the middle part of the sixth inning and I've got Raley, who he didn't use a warm up, which was odd. I got Rodgers. I got Helsley. I got Diaz. I even have Soto. I feel good about getting those last 10 or 11 outs. The bullpen is their strength. Now, it didn't work, but I think that's a 50-50 managerial move. It comes down to performance and guys getting the job done. And guys aren't doing that. And I love to say it's all going to be okay, but when you get 2 months of data where even when the starting pitching is good, like last night, or the clutch hitting comes through, like last night, or they score a lot of runs early, two nights earlier, you still find a way to lose, that's just a sign of a losing team. That's a sign of a team that's not going to turn it around. Now, you said something earlier, and I'm not ready to answer it, nor do I want to answer it, which is, hey, if they miss the playoffs, what do you do? I got to think long and hard about that because I don't think there's an easy answer.
No, there really
isn't. Now, I will eventually have an answer. You could trust me on that. I'll probably do a 5-hour Rico on it. But as we sit here today in the middle of August, I don't have an answer for the offseason, nor do I want to think about it. I want this team, this high-priced team, to turn it around. I need Juan Soto, and I don't care about his emotions or his smiling or his lack of smiling. I care about one very simple thing, and I have been damn consistent about this whenever we talk about sports. It's about performance, dummy.
Right.
Juan Soto came up in the eighth inning with a runner on first and one out right after Helsley gave up the lead. He struck out on three pitches. That's the kind of season Juan Soto's had.
Mm-hmm.
He'll get hits. He had a good series, right? He was 3-for-11. He was on base a bunch of times, hit a home run. Just like his stats are good. I'm not arguing his stats, but if you watch every day, you know the impact hasn't been there. And I thought this series against the Braves was a great example of it. His stats were there. Where was the impact? Where was the impact when he came up in the eighth inning with the tying run on first base and he struck out on three pitches against Dylan Lee, who struck him out a few months earlier in a big spot? Where was he in the fifth inning after the Mets gave up the big lead two nights earlier and he comes up as the tying run and he strikes out? Where's the impact?
Juan Solo.
That needs to change. Now, is it going to change? I hope so. But I need Juan Solo to, you know, be the guy we've seen.
Right. Go back to being Soto.
Yes.
Right. It's just, and it's not, it's easier said than done, it seems like, for anybody on this Mets team. And that's the issue. This feels like a mental issue. It feels like a, because it's not physical. I don't think anybody's hurt, even though I am starting to question why Brooks Raley hasn't pitched in 5 days. But it feels mental. This feels emotional.
Well, and you know what else it feels like, Teak? And I hate to say what I'm going to say, but I got to be real with you. This team, not everybody, because obviously Juan Soto was new, I understand that, but Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, here's the truth about these guys. I love these guys. Last year was amazing. OMG, blah, blah, blah. They have let us down a hell of a lot more than they've succeeded. In 2021, they all choked. Every single one of them. They were in first place for a majority of the season. They finished the season under 500. They choked. 2022, they were having a great year. What happened when the chips were down?
Right.
They choked. In 2023, don't worry. We got the talent. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. What happened? They choked so badly, they had to sell guys off before July 31st. Last year, as great as it was, until proven otherwise, kind of feels like the outlier. Because what's happening this year? They got the talent. They got the talent. They'll be fine. Well, I heard that in 2023. I heard that in 2021. I heard that at the end of 2022.
You heard it at the beginning of this year.
Heard it this year. So I know there's a lot of guys who, you know, weren't a part of all that. So I can't put that on Cedric Mullins or obviously Juan Solo. But that's the other thing I'm kind of scared about. This unit has failed more than it succeeded. So again, on August 15th, why do you believe? Because I'm having a tough time believing.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You know, we have this recency bias situation where it feels like this is the biggest thing. This is the worst thing. This is the biggest thing. I'm not going to say that if the Mets missed the playoffs this year, it would be the most disappointing season that I've experienced as a Mets fan relative to expectations. But it is at least a top three. I think that 2007, coming off the NLCS, everybody was young. David Wright, Jose Reyes, you know, it was just like one of those deals. And obviously the collapse happens. That was a really bad one. I think maybe, you know, 2016 off of the World Series, even though they made it back to the playoffs, losing the wild card one game.
That one game, yep.
That felt like a pretty disappointing season. you know, even it was tough because the circumstances were completely different after what happened in September in 2001. But that 2001 season after NLCS, World Series, they come out and they have a really, really tough start to the season. They start to get hot, but then the Braves just smack them around and Brian Jordan. So I'm thinking about all these things. And but this one, I mean, to go from the NLCS, you know, what the Mets were building last year, to go out and sign Juan Soto, all of the tickets that are being sold, Citi Field is going nuts, to miss the playoffs, which is now a real possibility. Mm-hmm. Where 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, I would have told you no way they're missing the playoffs. Only a half game up on the Reds for the final wild card. If they miss the playoffs, there can be an argument made, at least in the last 30 years, the most disappointing Mets team that we have seen.
I'll go further. I almost think it's a likelihood now at this point, because you tell me how this is turning around exactly. Because, you know, Boomer asked me a couple weeks ago, maybe it was even last week before we went away, you know, he looked at me and said, how would you grade these teams' trade deadline moves?
Oh, yeah,
and
I
said
remember,
to him, I'll talk to you in a year or two or three. And, you know, he wanted an answer. Well, here's your answer. D-. And I only give it a D- because at least David Bednar has turned into the Yankees closer for the moment. But he even struggled in Miami when he first started. Last night with Helsley, can we not walk a guy to start these innings? And I know he got the first guy out, but everything started last night by walking a guy and putting a guy on base with a free pass on that 3-2 pitch. I heard CeeLo and Fliegel
run over his head.
I mean, what was that? And then, listen, Soto has had his struggles in the clutch for sure, but even last night on the go-ahead double, you've got Harris going back to the bag. He makes, and Gary was all over it. I felt like Keith kind of dismissed it a little bit. But, you know, he makes a nice play to kind of deke Harris back to second base. And then instead of throwing the ball towards home where you might have had a chance, he throws it into. Then what'd you try and deke him for? If you're just going to throw the ball in the second, let him score. Like, nothing makes sense. Kodai Senga was good. I'm not going to say he wasn't. But he didn't even get into the sixth inning, and you're getting into the bullpen, and then you get to this, I don't want to call him a stiff, but we got all hell's bells, and we got this Hollywood promotion. Get someone out!
Yeah, I mean, I also think I did agree with Fleegs about going to Diaz first in that situation, and when you've got two guys like that, you got to throw your best guys against their best guys.
Which is something Buck Showalter did when he was here.
Right, right, absolutely, and probably should have never been fired when he was, but whatever. I mean, I disagreed with it at the time. I did like Carlos Mendoza last year. I'm not going to lie about that, but, you know, right now he's in the crosshairs, not as bad as Aaron Boone because he hasn't been here as long. But
he's getting there.
But, I mean, it's now turning. It's now getting there. And it's just, we've seen it so many times with teams where it just doesn't seem like there is an answer because there's some sort of loser virus that has infected the clubhouse or locker room. Yeah. And that's what it feels like here. It feels like, you know, hitting's contagious. Well, I think losing is contagious with 100%. This group. And they're showing up to the ballpark, it feels like, thinking, all right, how are we going to blow this one?
It's different every night.
Yeah, right. I mean, well, what is it going to be? Are we going to get a miserable starting pitching performance? Are we going to get a miserable offensive performance? Are we going to be up several runs and then the bullpen blow it? I mean, it's just, there are so many different ways that they are losing games. That's why I said yesterday, and I stand by it today, the only data, and it's not even data, but the only data that you have to say that the Mets are going to turn this around, make the playoffs, and then have a respectable postseason is that we cannot predict the future. And that's not even really data. That's just a fact, right?
Well, no one could have predicted this. This right. team was 21 games over 500 and was looking to win the NL East to right now dying to get into the postseason.
I mean, and it's a point now, too, because, you know, I went out just a little bit last night to see a couple friends. You know, I was telling them about Pebble Beach and you know, I'm watching the game, and, you know, the Yankee fans are sitting there, even though they've had their own issues, but they're laughing their asses off watching this, you know? And I thought to myself, like, how did the hell did we get here? Like, how did this just all of a sudden, and it's been a slow burn, and I really, because of last year and all the conversations we had, now I had buried the Mets early, and you said, we got to stop burying these teams so early. And I was like, I tried to learn my lesson last year, you know, in trying to, like, okay, this is what's going on now. you know, things can happen, whatever. And then they start losing a little bit. I'm like, okay, it's just a little bit of a stretch, a little bit of a stretch. Now it's to the point where I have absolutely zero confidence in them at all, that being a winning baseball team. And I mean, I know, I don't think that David Stearns or Carlos Mendoza or any, maybe Jeremy Hefner, but I mean, this feels like Aaron Rodgers Jets disaster at this point. It's like getting to that. Now, I understand there's no injury, but the Juan Soto, like, first season here thing is turning into a nightmare.
It's turning into nothing. That's what it's turning into. Now, if you want to be, you know, you want to go glass half full, I'll say what I said yesterday, and God, they should have won last night. You would have won the series, and you'd feel a little bit better going into this weekend, but they didn't. The only thing I can come up with is they're not alone in these struggles. Now, this has been long. This has been a couple of months now, for the most part, of just crap baseball. But really, the last 2.5 weeks, to me, has been the worst of it. When you look at 2-13 and 15, that's worse than the Rockies' pace earlier in the season, or at least Rocky-like. That's how bad it's been. But I will come back to the Cleveland Guardians couldn't get out of their own way for a couple of weeks and look like the worst team baseball's ever seen. They have since rebounded. The Dodgers right now have gone through it. We'll see if they rebound. I expect that they will. The Cubs have had their issues. The Yankees have had their issues. It's up and down baseball. The Brewers were not great to start. They have run away with their division at this point and look great. The Tigers look like world beaters. They have not played well of late. So it is, to me, widely across Major League Baseball, and there is time to figure this out. The problem I'm having with that, and you know I've been very optimistic with the Mets the last couple of years. The problem I'm having with it is I don't see how it changes, because when they hit, they don't pitch. When they pitch, they don't hit. And that, to me, is the mark of a bad team. I don't think they're a bad team. I really don't. But the proof is what the stats and the records show. Like, Francisco Lindor is finally starting to hit again. They don't win.
Yeah,
Pete Alonso hits home runs. They don't win. Juan Soto hits home runs. They has player of the month in June. It was their worst. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I remember they stat every time that Francisco Lindor hit a home run in a game, the Mets would win.
Not last night.
Yeah, nope, didn't happen. You know what? Evan put this out yesterday. I don't know if you saw it.
No.
The Mets record since April 30th.
I don't know, because I went over the record since June 21st and it was atrocious.
Well, now we're going all the way back to April 30th.
Okay.
I mean, they're 5 games under .500, 43-48 since April 30th.
Yeah.
I mean, that's May, June, July, and more than half of August.
It's terrible baseball. And what sucks about that is the way they finished last year, the excitement of the postseason, and then they started out well in April.
Yeah.
And it looked like this team was going to be a force, and they have been a farce.
Yeah, and I've forced to false.
Forced to false.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a headline we got to see in the New York Post at some point. But I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's some sort of issue with the players in the clubhouse. I don't know if it's a Juan Soto thing. I don't know if Carlos Mendoza just got lucky last year and it was riding a wave, and he's not a good manager. I don't know what it is. I mean, because if you look at the roster and you look at some of the production, they should be a hell of a lot better than this. I think what it really comes down to is the fact that you had, you know, massive underachieving from every single aspect of the team at different times.
Sure.
And it just has compounded itself. You have very little of all three, meaning offense, starting pitching, bullpen. I mean, defense, too, to a certain degree. You know, if you want to talk fundamental stuff, which has been sloppy. Yep. But it's been very rare that all three of those things are working for an extended period of time, whereas mostly it's like, all right, if this is okay, then that sucks. If these two things suck, then one thing's okay. It's just been, it's been off. It's mm-hmm. been off balance for months and months and months. And if they really miss the postseason and are on the outside looking in, it is as bad of a season, because there's so many other factors too. Like, you think back, like, some of these other teams, like, okay, like, you know, Frank Cashin being the GM and making silly decisions, or the Wilpons owning the team and being cheap during the Madoff era. This stuff wasn't supposed to happen anymore. This wasn't supposed to happen. I mean, the beginning of the year, the talk of the town, stealing a player from the Yankees, all of it. And then the best owner and the boy wonder genius GM, all of these things.
to be sitting here right now watching this team completely melt down is totally unfathomable.
If spending money was the end-all be-all, the Dodgers would have won the World Series the last seven straight years.
Yeah.
And they wound up winning 2-1. People don't even count because it was in the pandemic year. Fair enough. But the guy's got to go out and do it. You can pay anybody you want. If you don't spend it right, I shouldn't even say spend it right. If you don't put the proper collection of players together, you know, top to bottom, it doesn't matter. We saw the Texas Rangers for years spend a boatload of money and be a 500 team or worse. The Orioles always spent a lot of money, and for a lot of you, we're nothing. Like, it's gotta fit. Now, the Yankees were always very good, but it hasn't translated in the postseason for them in terms of World Series wins since 2009. You know, they for what they spend and the players they have, the playoffs should not be a guessing game right now for this team. I'm not saying that they should be in the World Series. I'm not saying that they should have gone farther than last year by winning the NLCS and advancing and winning the pennant. None of that. But the playoffs, come on, man. With the expanded postseason and three wild cards, they're not good enough to be one of the top six teams in the National League.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Last night specifically, when you have trust in certain guys in the rotation, all of a sudden he completely falls apart.
Yeah.
Now, this guy is not a rookie any longer. He's been around. He's made a lot of starts. He's not a 40-year-old veteran, but he's someone who should be able to handle a rain delay and does, at least for the beginning of the game. But to not be able to throw a strike, have the ability to throw a strike, and then lose his entire command off a night where everybody's celebrating and a six-run lead,
yeah,
where you're thinking this might be the catalyst. I mean, that was one of the most disappointing moments for me. Maybe it's because we're having so much fun and I came back to this crap. But honestly, him falling apart after the big win, after Alonso's six-run lead, was one of the more, I'm not going to say most, one of the more disappointing moments of the season for me, because of when it happened and how it happened.
And so bizarre that they, you know, you've got Gelbs and Ron Darling on the field. You've got Keith and Gary in the booth. And they're opening that inning. And for a good portion of it, they're talking about the Met pitching troubles and the fact that they don't throw first pitch strikes and they walk too many guys. And that's the inning that David Peterson decides not to be able to throw a strike. And he's one of the guys that, you know, we talked about him, you know, after last year going into this season. Like, to me, forget Kodai Senga, because to me, Senga just doesn't pitch enough. Like, I looked at David Peterson as the ace of the staff. I really do. But last night was, if there's one guy you expect to give you 6-7 innings, or at least hope can give you 6-7 innings on a team where if a starter goes 5, we're celebrating, like, you know, it's Sandy Koufax back in the day, is David Peterson. And to be given that lead, the moment, how many times so far this season have we said that Citi Field is alive? It feels different. The night they had the night before, we were watching it in California. They had it on at the restaurant we were at, and it was awesome. And the Alonso home run, and they're celebrating it. And then to come back and to shell Carrasco like they did, the Soto home run, you know, what's his name? Alonso starts it with the hit with runners in scoring position, bases loaded. Everything was set up to be, all right, we're turning the corner here. We're going to beat down the Braves a little bit. And then to get beat down like they did, there's not even words for it.
Yeah. I mean, and it is, I don't know if ironic is the right word, but last year, and people tend to forget, but last year when the Mets were going really well, people weren't showing up to the games. And the Mets were talking about it. Steve Cohen was talking about it. I remember specifically Brandon Nimmo was talking about it. We need you guys here. We're in a pennant race. And, of course, everybody showed up and they go on this amazing run. This year, the fans are there and the team's not.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and I understand they played much better at Citi Field than they have on the road.
Recently.
But yeah, overall in the course of the season. But you're right, not recently. I haven't played well anywhere recently. But, I mean, this just these large losing streaks, like 12 out of 14 and then 7 out of 9 and all this stuff. It's just, it's so disconcerting. And, you know, bad, we always
talk about the bad football around here, and I feel like one of the things that we'd always say is, you know, when the defense has a good game, well, then the offense doesn't have a good game. And then the offense doesn't have a good defense have a good game. But with the Mets, I mean, it's been two different seasons in the sense of when they were going really well, the pitching lab was the greatest thing in the world, yeah. and they couldn't hit, but they were still winning games. And now they're starting to hit the baseball again, and the starting pitching's as atrocious as you could possibly have for a team that's in a playoff spot with a payroll to where they have a payroll.
No doubt.
And I didn't hear it, but a listener sent it to me on X. I'll hat tip to a Joe Beningo line where he said, "The pitching lab is starting to look like the lab in Wuhan, China," which I thought was a good line. But it's gross. That the starting pitching for a team that currently has a playoff spot is as bad as any team that's got a winning record that maybe I've ever seen in my life.
Well, they're one of the worst right now. I think it's one of the worst pitching staffs in baseball.
It's got to be
like ERA. I don't know. Well, I mean, maybe Chicago, maybe Colorado, but beyond that, I mean, you find me a team that walks more batters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal. And for Reed Garrett to come in, and David Peterson gets all the blame for sure, you got to give up the home run. Like, you got to give up the grand. I mean, come on. It's a Michael Harris.
Yeah.
Everything, top to bottom, pitching-wise, is a disaster with this team right now.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, you hear these decisions. You should have gone here. You should have gone there. You know, I'm hearing a guy driving in who wants Paul Blackburn to be the first guy out of the bullpen as opposed to Reed Garrett. You hadn't seen Blackburn in forever. And then you hear all the Yankee fans complaining about Boone and, you know, should it be De Los Santos? Should it be Weaver? Should it be that? I mean, at this point, for the Mets at least, I mean, I barely trust anybody.
I agree with that.
With a baseball in their hand mm-hmm. on the mound.
Yeah.
And it's really up to the players. It's up to these guys. You know, it's up to the stuff that happens, I think, away from the games to figure this out that's more important. So then when you have somebody coming out of the bullpen, like, think about it. We weren't talking about managerial decisions in the beginning of the year when everybody was pitching well in the starting rotation and the guys in the bullpen were doing their job, too. It didn't matter. Nobody was like, oh, Carlos Mendoza brought in the wrong guy. It never happened because everybody, at least 90%, of the guys that were on the mound you had trust in, and now 100% of the guys who take the mound you don't.
None. Absolutely none. And you're right. I mean, you know, obviously the Yankees are a different story, but, you know, if you're going to complain about the decision last night, well, you know, now I would have been one. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I would have been one going back and watching I picked it up this morning in the sixth inning. You know, I went back, I watched the fifth inning. I'm probably one that keeps the starter in. And I understand the whole point of, well, you don't want to go through the order again. Okay, well, the first batter that saw the first pitcher that saw Buxton gives up the hit. Now, Volpe almost made a great play. And again, another play where a really good first baseman picks that ball. He might have been safe anyway, but you get the point. I'm just not so quick to just bring these other guys in because you don't know what you're getting. Schlittler was doing a nice job last night. Point is, you're right. Whether it's this guy, that guy, this guy, if they don't do their job, the manager's an idiot. They do their job, then they did their job. And by the way, the other part of that, too, is you mentioned the pitching lab. Boy, all we heard about was Jeremy Hefner earlier in the season. Now, not so much anymore.
Yeah, and last year, he deserved all the credit. And David Stearns and everybody there in the front office deserved the credit. Beginning of this year, they deserved the credit. And there were heaps of praise on the Mets and what they were doing. And they were doing it again and getting these scrap heap guys and figuring it out. And now what you have is not just like a step back. I mean, it's one giant leap for the Mets in their pitching lab. I mean, think about it. I mean, Montas, total disaster. Yep. Clay Holmes falling off the face of the earth. You've had injuries to other guys. Kodai Senga, unless everything is absolutely perfect, can't be a good pitcher. I mean, it's amazing. Unless he's completely healthy, feels 100% perfect, gets the right amount of rest, then you might get a good outing out of him. Otherwise, he'll go 3 1/3. It'll be 4 earned runs. He'll come out and say, you know, I just didn't feel like myself. Which reminds me, almost not as bad as that Jacob DeGrom before his contract.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, he would get pulled out of games. We would worry about injuries. It's not like that with Senga, but it's almost like everything's got to be completely perfect for him to perform. So, you know, basically where you're at now is just trusting the unknown and knowing that we can't predict the future. That's, if you're a Mets fan who thinks that this team still has an opportunity to win in the postseason and bring home the first World Series championship since 1986, which is what we were expecting they'd be competing for at the beginning of the season. What you're trusting is that you can't predict the future and stuff happens and teams just turn around for no reason. Because the data that they have given us up until this point says that they suck and they're not going anywhere.
Well, the way both teams have played the last couple of months, think about where these two teams came from. So the Yankees had, what was it, a 6.5 game lead, 7.5 game lead atop the AL East. They're far below that now and obviously not in first place anymore and haven't been in a while. The Mets were 20-something games over 500 and right now fighting with the Reds for the final wild card spot in the National League. And I'm with you. They suck right now. The Yankees, now I know they won 2 out of 3 for Minnesota. I get it. They're off to St. Louis this weekend. That said, not great. Like I have zero confidence in either team right now. Now, I also wouldn't be shocked if both teams went on 7-game winning streaks, but you gotta show it to us first. Capable of it, yes, but it has just been an utter disaster pretty much since Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, I just don't know, like, where does it stop?
I don't know.
With the Mets starting pitching. Like, that is, if David Peterson, who is the most trustworthy guy in the rotation, can have the meltdown that he had last night with all the momentum in the world.
Yep.
That's the most momentum that this franchise has had in a good 2 months, coming off that big win against Atlanta and the Alonso celebration and then being up 6-0, you know, after the first 2 innings last night. And to blow that up himself, I mean, I just don't know where it ends.
And it's also the way it gets blown up. I mean, walking all the guys, you're walking the bases loaded. I know there was a base hit mixed in, but like the walks are just you're killing yourself.
I mean, he lost his, I mean, you don't want to say like yips or anything, it wasn't that bad, but like he lost his arm slot or whatever. He couldn't figure it out. He couldn't get back on track. You know, and then you got Senga pitching today. Tonight, rather, it's tonight, right? Not today. It's not a getaway game. It's tonight.
I thought it was 7:10.
7:10. It is tonight. Right. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, tonight. So you got him pitching, but like what? What's your expectation?
Tooth extraction.
Right. I mean, but like honestly, gonna walk some guys. Probably gonna have like 90 pitches after 3 1/3. Yeah. And have to come out of the game, and then you get, you know, slop fest USA again, trotting out of the bullpen.
You might.
I mean, like that's what you expect.
That is what I'm not saying he's not a good pitcher. He is, but he has a million pitches to get through 5 innings. And it is a tooth extraction. I mean, people, there are those out there that say injuries are coming from the pitch clock. Nonsense. The pitch clock has helped baseball give you some sort of rhythm. Could you imagine if there was we go back to no pitch clock and this guy's on the mound? Oh my God. He's tough to watch. He's just tough to watch. It's, I guess if you're going 5 innings, you're not giving up any runs, I guess, but he hasn't been that either. So what do I expect tonight? To be honest, I expect the Braves to go out and win the series. That's what I expect.
Really? Yeah, I know.
Sadly.
I mean, yeah, and they're so bad.
I know they are.
They're just so bad.
They got a guy. What's his name, Mike? Nacho Alvarez? What the hell's his name?
Nacho Alvarez Jr.
What the hell? Junior. What is a Nacho Alvarez? Like, I'm watching the game. I'm at a loss for words because the talent that these two teams have, and I know the Yankees are beat up, I understand that. And I know Judge is coming back from the injury, so it takes him some time to get going. I understand that too. But when I see a team that's got Cody Bellinger, when I see a team that's got Trent Grisham hitting big home runs like he hit the other night, when I see Judge Stanton having really a really good season since he's come back from injury and got his season underway, when I see Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, this should not be happening at the clip it's happening.
Yeah, and I think that's what, if you're holding on to hope, that's what you're holding on to, is there's so many good players, and we've seen it happen before, and there. I mean, there is still a lot of time. You could, you know, you see teams that have a horrible month that followed up by a month where it seems like they can't lose. But the point is that... There's nothing pointing to that turnaround other than the fact that we can't predict the future.
I agree with that because look what happened to the Dodgers. Like, would anybody have thought that the Dodgers would have fallen off the way that they have and that they wouldn't be in first place right now and that the Padres would have leapfrogged them? Early on, the Giants looked like a really good team. Now they're very average at best. What's gone on with the Cubs? The Reds are almost in playoff position. Like when the Tigers, who were running away with Major League Baseball and into the where everybody thought, you know, a month ago, the Tigers were pretty much your World Series team in the American League, a 12, 13 game lead. You look up now and here comes Cleveland, who had a 12 game losing streak. And now they don't lose. The Brewers are whatever it is, 30, 40 games. It has been wacky. and you can't figure it out. And I agree with exactly what you just said. Until they play the games, we have you can't predict anything in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the only thing that really would be something you could point to if you're like, oh, this team will turn around because so-and-so is coming back from injury, or once they get this guy back, that guy back. I mean, neither team really has that guy in the wings that you're waiting to come back. So, it's a situation of blind faith right now. I mean, that's what it is. It's a situation of blind faith and hope. And I know there's, you know, you could look at all the numbers you want and, you know, oh, man, you know, things will turn around because of the hard hit rate or whatever the hell else or this or that. There is nothing about this Mets starting pitching anywhere deep in any sort of number that's going to make you feel like they're going to figure it out other than them just doing it.
Exactly.
So just start with Kodai Senga tonight, and then let's start moving in the right direction. Maybe they start feeding off each other. I don't know. But it is as bad as I've ever seen in a team. Like, we've seen some horrible baseball around here, some horrible Mets teams. The starting pitching on this team that still has a playoff spot with this type of payroll, with this type of expectation, is the worst I've seen in that bubble.
Sure.
They're not supposed to be this bad right now.
And when you look at the way they've put the pitching together, when it works, you laud them like, wow. Because I don't love paying pitchers $40 million a year when they pitch every fifth day and usually have a stint on the IL at some point in the season. But when it looks like this, you go back to, is this really what they're going to go into the season with? And it has looked like that the last 2 months.
And we trusted them last year and going into this year. Well, I shouldn't say we
learned.
We earned the trust.
Correct.
Last year. And then going into this year, I said, I'm not going to complain about what the rotation looks like on paper because
it started great.
And it started great. And now it's as bad. It's bottom of the barrel.
Crab Central.
Yes, Crab Central spot.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
What happened last night is unacceptable, and it cannot happen. That, to me, is the breaking point. How many times, BT, do we have to see this team go out there and stake their club to a 4-run lead, a 5-run lead, a 6-run lead? I have never seen anything like it. They actually score runs. They get an early lead. You're thinking the game is over. Going back to Sunday against the Brewers, you get a big lead like that, you put that game away. And these pitchers can't get out of the third, fourth damn inning. Unacceptable. It's got to change. They have to figure it out. Stearns built this staff. We talked about the pitching lab and all this nonsense. And when it happens against a crappy, dead meat, left for dead, buried, pathetic Atlanta Braves team with your best pitcher on the mound at home after the record breaker and all that stuff, 6-0, you're clobbering them. David Peterson can't get through the fourth inning? Unacceptable. There are two things to me, BT, that are non-negotiable. It is when pitchers cannot throw strikes or choose not to throw strikes, it drives me up a wall. The other would be if your team gives you a lead. I don't care who you are as a starting pitcher. Certainly the best starting pitcher. Yeah. David Peterson was an all-star. You're an all-star this year. You're the one guy they need you to go out there and give some length. Good God, what a 6-9 lead. You can't get through 5 innings? Reed Garrett, I never want to see him again. You know how I feel about that. But the other thing would be if a team gives you that big lead, you cannot give it back. 6-3, fine. 6-4, fine. Get through the fifth inning. So to me, that was now they're really, to me, starting to show signs that they may not, in fact, be as good of a team as I thought that they were.
Okay, there's a lot there. I'm with you. Just a disgraceful, disgusting loss. And I wanted to see in that little hit piece there, which is on the money, I was waiting for one word, Stearns.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I heard that. You know, as I was laying out, Liz, yeah. I heard Peterson. I heard a lot of things. I did hear Stearns, which is good because David Stearns is the one who went into the season with this starting staff. And now the Mets and David Stearns, I'm not saying that it can't happen, but now David Stearns of the Mets are basically beholden to a couple of talented, for sure, and highly thought of young pitching commodities, But they and we and nobody knows what they're going to do on the big stage. And quite frankly, Sal, you know, you can make, and this is a bit of a different conversation, but I can make the statement that if these young arms don't come and stabilize things, the Mets are not going to make the playoffs.
Right, so think about it. A team that has the payroll that they have and was expected to contend legitimately for the World Series, now as we get toward, you know, September, you're 2 weeks from September, whatever it is, they're going to be relying on at least one for now with McClain coming up, probably two with Sproat soon behind him, and I hope three with Tom, because how are you going to fix it? So we all know the issue, right? The bats have come to life a little bit, and you trust that they would at some point. Mm-hmm. Lindor, Soto, Alonso, even Nimmo, throw him in there, whatever it may be.
Yep.
And they've shown that they can do that. The bullpen, I trust wholeheartedly with Rogers, Helsley, Diaz. That's three legit.
You got to get to them.
Yeah, well, not even mentioning Soto or really. They have like five good guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Problem is, we keep seeing Stanek and Reed Garrett because they're going to the bullpen in the third or fourth inning.
Yeah.
It can't happen. So then the issue is, okay, we all know it can't happen. We all know it's been happening for far too long. How are they going to fix it? They have to fix it. That's why I said the other day, hey, bring up all three, Tong, McClain, Sproat. I'm not saying that they're the answers. I'm saying that you need an answer, and at least there's a chance, and then you could move Holmes back to the bullpen and get rid of Reed Garrett, Ryan Stanek, all these guys who can't get outs. Reed Garrett, would it kill you not to give up a grand slam? I mean, good God, even if you blow the lead, you give up a grand slam? Ball was hammered.
Yeah, dead center.
Oh.
Remember, I said the other day, I said this about the Yankees, too. The Yankees didn't look good either. We'll get to them, but I said right now the Yanks and the Mets are bad at more things than they're good at. Remember I said that?
Yes.
I truly, truly believe that. And in the case of the Mets, as much as we're talking about Peterson, and I get the start, and by the way, Peterson's been terrific.
He's been
last
great,
night aside. And I get it. You do your job, though. You can't walk five guys. I understand, like, you go out there with your B-minus stuff, your C-plus stuff. You're not a robot. You're a human, and you were an all-star, and you've been the best starter. Everybody's entitled to a couple of bombs. I get it. He's a human being, but five walks is so substandard, that's unacceptable.
With a 6-0 lead.
I get you. And real quick, there are, I mean, even you know, the 61 Yankees, I'm sure, lost, or the 86 Mets lost 11-6, but there's different types of 11-6. All right, you know, the other team, you just have nothing. You lose 11-2, you get drilled. You lose 11-5, you get smoked. You lose 11-1, you get shut out. You lose 11-0. I don't know how many times any team in baseball jumps out to a 6-0 lead and then has 11 unanswered. So that's a different kind of 11-6 loss. But just to complete the thought about the totality of this mess, all right? So we all know about the pitching. That's the easy stuff. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Mets botched two double plays.
Yeah.
And both were absolutely gross. I don't know why they sent Pete from try to score on a one-hop laser to right field. The exit velo was well over 105. He's out by 3 feet. And Soto, once again, who's starting to hit the long ball. Right. I get that, but two on, down three. And it's only the fifth inning. Strikeout. So, like, all the other things that make, and they're not a bad team based on their record, but they've been a bad team for way too long, not turning double plays, not hitting in the clutch, not getting past the fourth inning, relievers coming in with gas cans, questionable coaching decisions at third base. It's just like the Mets look awful.
Not to mention the Phillies lost, and the Mets could have gotten right back in the division. They would have been a 4-game deficit and rolling. It's the crappy Braves. It's a 6-0 lead, and you have your best pitcher on the mound. Like, Peterson's not going to be perfect. I get that. But with a 6-0 lead, the very least he could do is get through five innings.
Just be competent.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to be perfect.
By the way, it's not just one game, and it's not just the fact that the starters aren't giving length. It is 3 games in a row that the Mets have been staked to early leads, and their starters give it right back, and they can't get through the fourth inning.
Mm-hmm.
This may be the worst display of starting pitching that I've ever seen from a Mets fan perspective. And I've seen rotations with Mark Clark, Jeff D'Amico, Pete Harnish, Pedro Ostacio. Like, you name the scrubs that we have seen in the Mets rotations for years. And even if they were staked to 5-run, 6-run, 4-run leads, you put it in your back pocket and you go get the W. Like, the hard part was getting the 5-6 runs.
Uh-huh.
The easy part should be pitching through that. I don't understand it.
Even the horrendously inept, just terrible Mets teams of the late 70s and early 80s, at least they had Craig Swan. Yeah. Pat Zachary?
Yeah.
Like, they had a couple of guys. Now, Peterson's been really good. I love him. You know, and so I know you
Me
do
too.
As well.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's done a great job.
But this is becoming contagious. Generally, you don't hit in runners in scoring position. Kind of becomes a little bit of a team-wide issue. Remember when the Yanks were throwing the ball all around the field with Volpe and some others? It becomes like it almost swallows you up. I guess the only hope, well, there's two hopes. The young guys change the course of the starting pitching soon. Or the other guys just get their act together and get their heads out of the behinds and start doing their job. Now, let me say one more thing. Like, this is the other aspect of what bothers me about some of the commentary with New York baseball. And we do it with the Yankees, and we always hammer Cashman and run through 20 years, a litany of mistakes. And we do, you know, and I said Stern, so I'm a little guilty here as well. But at what point can the players start doing their jobs?
But
when?
Here's the counter to that. And I'm with you. Like, that's what we said. Cohen, Stearns, they built the team. Now go out there and do the job. The problem is, in Holmes' case, right? Because it's not all equal. In Clay Holmes' case, it was very predictable to say that you're going to take a guy converted from being a reliever for years and have him in the rotation, that at some point, the innings were going to catch up on him. He's far past his. So, all right, you look at Holmes and say, you could understand how he can't give you much length right now. Move him to the pen. Okay, you can fix that. Montas, nobody in this town,
Stakes.
And I mean nobody outside of David Stearns himself, wanted Frankie Montas. That's a guy that he chose. That's strike number two.
Yeah.
That's why with Peterson, to me, it's different because he's not so like, it's not just that, well, the Mets don't have a rotation that could get through these innings. Well, some of it is by because of the way that they designed the rotation as it pertains to Holmes, as it pertains to Montas. The other guys are where it's perplexing. Senga's never been a guy that's going to give you great length. He's been abnormally bad since he's come back from injury.
He's a big star for him today,
boy. Manaea's got the loose bodies. I don't know what's going on with him, but certainly he's been bad. Like, the multiple guys have gotten, you know, when Sho Manaea gets a lead, you got to put that away. When David Peterson gets a lead, you got to put that away. Clay Holmes, you could understand it for the most part. Yeah. Montas, you understand it. Just, you know, Holmes is tired. Montas not very good at this particular point, but it's been a little bit of everything. I think that's why Stearns, Hefner, the pitching lab, whatever you want to call it, that has to take a hit. They have to figure it out. This can't continue. It's gone on for 2 months. It can't continue.
This is why when I say, Sal, when I look at the Mets, I just, and I know that at some point they're going to get hot. I get that. You know, Lindor dropping down the bunt the other night opened him up a little bit. Yeah. He's starting to get a couple of hits. You know, Soto's hitting some bombs. Pete's been okay lately. Bottom third, whatever. They'll score some runs. I get it. If you get to those three guys or four guys to close out games, you'll win games. You just have to get to that point. So I know that the Mets are eventually going to look a whole hell of a lot better than they looked last night. Yeah. And they've looked for the last 2 months almost. But I don't think that they'll ever look good enough this version to win a World Series. And that's what this season is about. And that's why, again, and I'm not going to say it forever, but when I say that they're bad at more things than they're good at, what I'm really saying is, like, it's like, and I've used this analogy as well, the whack-a-mole on the boardwalk. Bang, knock him down. Here pops another one. Boom, all right, I got him. Bang, there's another one. It's like, how many hammers can you use to get this freaking mole that's popping up? There's just too many problems with this team.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. 888-808-1019. Ray is in Tampa starting us off. What's up, Ray?
How you doing, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. I feel the biggest problem isn't so much the players. I think it's Mendy. And once the first three runs came in, he should have taken the pitcher out that quick.
Ray, here's the problem. You can't blame – I'll let you finish here. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I got to jump in. Like, you can't blame the manager when his starting pitcher can't get through the fourth inning.
Sal, that is true. But the same thing happened time and time again. He can't see that he don't got it. He just didn't have it.
I know, but what are you supposed to do is the
really
point. In the fourth inning, like, you can't be playing bullpen games. And thanks for the call, Ray.
Here's what Ray's missing, all right? So it's not just a singular issue like, all right, Mendy, come on. What are you looking at? He can't find the strike zone. Yank him. I mean, I don't think Mendoza's been great for the last month or so, and I've said that. Some of the decisions I've questioned, it's all good. I still think he can be really good, but I don't think he's been very good last month or so, right? But when he's in his spot in the dugout, he's not just looking at a pitcher struggling. He also, this is a big part of it, has to now navigate inning upon inning upon, and, you know, multiple outs, 15 outs for the bullpen, and he's been doing that basically for the last month.
Right.
So it's not just, all right, Peterson's been he's an all-star, but he's off tonight. Let's yank him, and let's, you know, we'll get him next start. There's the Mets staff is so overworked and such a mess. You got to try to steal the couple outs.
If it happened in the fifth or sixth inning.
Yep.
And you could see him starting to lose it, that's when you could say, hey, Mendy should have gone to the pen sooner.
I agree with you.
In the fourth inning.
Nah,
like,
you can't do that.
With Peterson?
No.
Mendy, you got to be like, dude, what is going on? Now, here's where I will get on Mendy. He's the manager. Figure it the bleep out. Figure it out. He knows it, too.
Yeah.
You're the manager. I don't know what's going on with the pitching staff. I don't know how the changes happen. Figure it out. You, Stearns, Hefner, Cohen, whoever needs to be in that room, figure it out. The season's starting to get away from here. Now, all of a sudden, it went from having, well, all right, well, they have a 3-game lead on the Reds. Now, all of a sudden, forget the division for a second, even though I still am not giving up on that. There's still time to go here. But now, all of a sudden, the Reds are 1 game behind you.
Yep.
And there's no reason to believe that the starters are all of a sudden going to flip a switch and get better.
No, they're not. I don't think they are.
So
Peterson will be better, but...
And you could say, well, a month ago, all right, it's not time to panic. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, not time to panic.
Mm-hmm.
You're now getting there to the point where this has continued far too long. It can't just be, let's hope Big Pete could go out there, David Peterson, and give us 6-7 innings tonight. Let's hope Senga turns it around. Let's hope Manaea is building himself back up. Let's hope Holmes could give us 5-7. No, like, you've seen this how many times through. Change is needed now. Now they got to figure it out.
The problem is, change was also needed a couple of weeks ago with the starting pitcher. Stearns didn't deliver one, so that's why we got to see how these young kids do.
Yeah, he relied on the young guys.
I got you. Now that's got to work itself out. And by the way, if anybody thinks it's still, you know, not that anybody's out there saying it's so early. Nobody's saying that. There's only 40-something games left. But if you're still not convinced that time's ticking, because I'm with you, both of these teams, it's getting late. All you have to understand is the Jets and the Giants are playing this weekend in a preseason game.
Right.
So that should, if you've been around long enough, you should know Jets-Giants preseason game. And I know it's usually the third week, not the second, but football season's coming. And when football season's coming, if a baseball team is unstable, that's not good timing. That means it's getting late.
The only thing is that there's still a full month plus left of the schedule. A lot can change. If the Mets would have won last night, the energy, and honestly, I thought they were going to.
So did I.
Matter of fact, I was texting Evan, you know, because he's busting my chops for the last several months about, is the NL East over? Is the NL East over? While him and Mirage thought that the Mets were going to win the division, now they both think that the Mets are going to lose the division. So up 6-0, knowing the Phillies got beat, I texted him, is the NL East over? And then about an hour later, David Peterson implodes or whatever it was. And now, to me, like, the hope of the division, whatever excitement or belief I had, they just ruined it. They put the nail in the coffin of that belief. It still could happen, though, because just that one game, it would have been totally different. Hey, 4 games back, Mets are rolling right now. The problem is they've had too many of these. Two of the last 3 games, they should have won those against Milwaukee. They should be winning 3 in a row here against Milwaukee and then last night, which changes everything. So, point is, you're only a short win streak away from making everything feel totally different.
No, you are, for sure. But that's why, you know, my main premise is of great concern, because the multitude of issues that plague the Mets... Yeah, I know they're going to look good for a couple of games, and they might look good for a week. I just believe, unfortunately, and again, I think they'll be a wild card team. But at the end of the day, I think they're going to fall way short based on the expectations, because there's just too many issues.
John is in Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Johnny,
thanks for taking the call, guys.
Yeah.
When at the beginning of the season, on paper, both these teams looked like they were going to be great. You know, we're going to have a good run. And it is frustrating, because now we're playing the blame game of, like, oh, it's Stern, oh, it's Cashman, oh, it's the players, oh, it's Boone, oh, it's, you know, it's everyone's fault. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, I think there is a line that you have to draw of the players have to do their job, to your point, guys. And it's just getting so annoying watching these baseball teams. And as a fan, you know, I don't root against the Mets as a Yankee fan, but, you know, you want both teams to succeed. When both teams are good in New York, that's great for the sport and that's great for the city. And both these teams are just, I think they're floundering their opportunity here.
John,
it's just amazing to see where these guys were last year and where we are now. It's like, you know, I feel like I'm living in a bizarro world.
I am with you 1,000%, so much so that last night, BT, I'm thinking and watching both these games, I can't take this anymore. That's what I'm feeling. I can't take the losing anymore from both these teams. I can't take it. Like, it's one thing if you watch one team and endure the losing, which is bad enough. We're watching both teams. Mm. I can't take it. I can't take the Yankees and they're losing, and I can't take the Mets the way that they're blowing these games here, coughing them up. Not with the expectations. Now, I still believe both teams will be playoff teams, but come on, dude. This has gone on for months now. It's got to stop.
I mean, with the Yankees, it's really gone on for years with the same issues. But I hate, you know, I got you. Always pulling up the pass. It's just, it's absolutely mentally paralyzed. I can't do it anymore. C-Mac said it yesterday. He's like, we got to stop. And I agree with this. He's like, we got to stop just conjuring up everything that's been wrong with the Yankees this century and almost just focus on a night-to-night basis. I think that was pretty smart. Right,
there's enough there to get on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like there's no content. Right. You know, he scored one run last night against the Twins.
The only thing I would say, and you and I have this debate all the time, where you're like, okay, well, stop bringing back, whether it was with the Giants. And it dates back to, you know, when Gettleman drafted Barkley.
Sure.
Like the reason why we bring it up, it's not to say, well, look at the Yankees dynasty in the 90s. It's to say in recent history, a lot of the decisions that they made or moves that they made have led to where they're at today.
No question. And I listen, I'm not dismissing it as a valued point.
Right.
I'm really not. I mean, there's a direct correlation to, you know, whether it's Isaiah and Dolan back in the day. Right. I mean, why were the Knicks bad for 15 years? I mean, look back at what happened the moment Van Gundy walked out the door and every other mistake. I absolutely get it. Now, the good news for the Mets is that their runway, if you will, of mistakes is far shorter than the Yankees because it's a new regime. And, you know, maybe that will embolden fans because I just think Yankee fans are just tired of the same nonsense, whereas Mets fans are at a different stage. But I just look at this Mets team and I think that their ceiling is okay. I don't think their ceiling's amazing, number one, and their floor is frighteningly lower than I thought.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's Al the Fed, 888-808-1019. Now, you know, Straw's probably just going to be like, nah, I don't care about it.
I know. But we'll have to
dig it out of him. Get the real answer from him. Andrew's calling from Morris Plains. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I was, you know, watching that game last night. I got to say, this team has had some really bad losses this season. That was one of them last night for me. But it's really just, yeah, as I'm listening to the radio and that stuff, I really do think, and I said this to my friends and family, before going into the season, what they didn't accomplish was getting an ace pitcher. I mean, I like Senga, I like Minaya, I like Peterson, I think they're great, but they got flaws, and these are guys that can't pitch six innings, and it's just unacceptable to, like, even like last night, to only go up to four innings, and, you know, I mean, something has to get fixed. I mean, whatever happens this season, they need to get an ace pitcher. Because, yep. I mean, I look at that 2015 team. You had Syndergaard. You had DeGrom. You had Harvey. And Matt, players who were at their peak at that time. And I don't see it on this team. And one other thing, too. You know, I am really pulling for Soto to do something here. And he has not shown it. I mean, yes, he made a two-run homer last night. That was great. But he had an opportunity last night to maybe get a three-run homer or something. And he didn't do it.
Well, listen, it's not fair to expect a three-run bomb every time. And I know you guys were down three at that point, and it would have been nice. And he's been hitting home runs more frequently. Matter of fact, he leads the team. He just hit, you know, went past Pete, obviously. So he's done some really good things. But look, there's no way to frame this other than Juan Soto has been less than what everybody thought he would be with the New York Mets. It's indisputable. It doesn't mean if they get to the postseason, he won't be clutch again like he was with the Yankees. It's hitting .252. That's all you need to know.
Well, the other thing to me, the worst thing than his batting average is the fact that every time he comes up in one of those moments, every time,
yep,
he has failed.
It seems like it's almost every time.
Every time since opening day, every time. And that is the reason why I loved Juan Soto more than anybody, is because I expect him to come through in those moments, the way that Mike Piazza used to come through in those big moments. Soto has done that throughout the course of his career. We saw it last year with the Yankees. You saw it in 2019 in the postseason with the Nationals. That is where he excels. The bigger the moment, the better Juan Soto is. And for whatever reason, every time he's come up in a big spot this year with the Mets, he has failed. All, you mentioned his home runs. He's not had one three-run homer this year.
Now that is amazing.
How do you not have one three-run homer? Last night they needed it. Now, and he's also had games where you could hit bunches. I'm not trying to... He's not the reason they lost the game last night.
No, I agree.
But he was one of the reasons that they failed to get back into that game. He came up in a big spot, worked the count back into his favor, and he struck out. Two guys on, everybody's expecting it. At the very least, you could hit the ball in the gap somewhere and get the game a little closer, get some of the mojo back, the momentum back, and he strikes out. At best, you're hoping to tie the game, 9-9, here we go. He didn't do it. Meanwhile, the opposite, Alonso has come through in almost every big moment, or at least the majority of the big moments this year.
Listen, you're right. He's not the reason why they lost the game last night. I brought this up, but they won, and we were, you know, wrapped up in the history with Pete and Straw. And by the way, Sal said Straw's going to join us coming up in a little bit here on the show. Have fun with Darryl Strawberry. The night before, two games ago, in the first inning, that route that he took in the outfield was not good. And you don't want to see that in October. You don't want to see that when you try to stabilize the season. You're right. He's not the reason why they lost last night, but he is the singular biggest culprit as to why their lack of production with men on base is so bad.
Correct.
He's number one.
He's been awful with runners in scoring position. He's supposed to excel in those spots. Now, back to the real issue, the starting pitchers. So people could say, well, Stearns, we knew this going into the year. The problem is, what were the alternatives? I have a list up here of the starting pitchers that were free agents going into the season. Who were the guys that we were pounding the desk for saying that you should go get him? Corbin Burns, I never wanted him. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect Stearns to get him. I would not have invested in him. He ends up getting hurt.
He's done.
He signed a huge deal with Arizona. He ends up getting hurt. Blake Snell, I mean, I feel like we might have made an argument for him. I forget exactly.
A little bit.
Okay.
How about Freed?
Yeah, well, I mean, but Freed went to... Yeah, the Mets were not going to do that. Now, you could say... Should they have done that in addition to Soto? Maybe. I told you he was the one guy that I would have invested in.
Yeah, he did.
Long term, yep. if I were going to do that. But still, okay, so is he the only one? Nate Eovaldi stayed with the Rangers for 3 years. You know, the guy that I wanted was...
What about keeping Seve?
Walker Buehler. Keeping who?
Seve.
Yeah, I don't know. How's he been? He hasn't been great. I know it's a
different
Sacramento.
Ballpark, Sacramento. Yeah.
Quintana, or at a one-year deal. Like,
Quintana's one you could push back on. That's a guy who kind of fit.
But think about what we're talking about. Like, if they sign Quintana, you think we'd all be like, yeah, Mets rotation is loaded. It's easy to say now. Now, like Quintana, and I would have brought him back. But, like, what's the difference with Quintana and Griffin Canning if Griffin Canning doesn't get hurt?
But he would have been better than Blackburn when Blackburn was making a call. I know he's backing out of the pen. But Blackburn had a couple of starts, early-ish, middle season, whatever that was. I mean, Quintana's a guy that fit. Off speed, you know, he's going to throw strikes. He's going to give you 5+. He's not going to throw the ball by you. But for a team that was theoretically built on offense, I think Quintana would have been a great fit to come back.
The one I wanted badly was Walker Buehler, and even him. Like, would he have been a difference maker in this rotation? I don't think so. We definitely didn't want Montas. So really, any of those guys would have been better than Montas, and you could get on him for that. But I don't think that there's a difference maker that was out there. Freed, yes. And even him. Look at what Freed's done as of late with the Yankees. So if Freed did what Peterson did last night, we'd be going just as nuts, and it would have been $218 million as opposed to what Peters is making, peanuts. So I'm not trying to minimize that signing. I don't think it's as blatant as this was the clear go get this guy.
Yep.
And Stearns failed.
What about from a trade perspective a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I also don't think that Alcantara. I mean, I would have liked, it's why I gave him an A, not an A+. I would have liked to have seen them add a starter.
They had to. That's very sad. It was surprising then. It's even worse now.
But they didn't because of the young guys. So now we're going to see. They did add a starter as far as Nolan McLain goes. Lawrence is calling from Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
How are you?
Listen, as a Mets fan, I'm extremely frustrated. It's not about winning a World Series. It's just about the franchise being good. And they haven't made back-to-back playoffs more than twice. And they wouldn't have if they didn't extend the playoff format. And once again, Pete Alonso is the bright spot in the sea of darkness as a Mets fan. So it's just like, it's the same old Mets, and you can bring in whoever you want. But until the results change and we don't win a World Series and we're not in the playoffs back-to-back years, it's the same old Mets for me.
He's dropping same old Mets. You're going to let him get away with that?
Yeah, that's too crazy. I mean, Lawrence, you're going over the top here. Oh, he hung up on us. And thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in, as always. See, to me, that's too nuts. It's not the same old Mets. You're going to minimize now all the accomplishments if they were to make the postseason and say, oh, the only reason why you got in because of the extra wild card. Yeah, that's true, but they didn't benefit when they had good teams in the 80s. They didn't have the benefit of a wild card. Yeah. Otherwise, who knows? Maybe they would have. Maybe something different would have happened in 85, in 87.
We would have had a Subway Series in the 80s if there was a wild card. Yankees were the winningest team in the 80s. They kept losing out to Toronto.
Right.
They won like 97 one year in 80, I think it was 85. Mets finished second to the Cardinals in 85. Right. Nothing, obviously, win the World Series. Like, I think there would have been a Subway
Series. Imagine how wild that would have been back in the 80s.
And like
how that
Doc against Donnie?
How that would have changed everything moving forward.
Doc, like, yeah. Think about that.
And also think about it from the perspective of that predates interleague play.
Yeah.
So from 97 on, we've gotten used to the Mets playing the Yankees. And then by 2000, it was still a big deal in the World Series.
No question.
But you got used to it. If that happened in the 80s.
Dude, all we had was the Mayor's Trophy game for a couple years back then. I don't even know if I've ever seen the Mayor's Trophy. I remember when it would happen. I remember reading it in the paper. I don't even know if it was televised.
Keith versus Donnie, head-to-head in the World Series.
Well, how about Doc Gooden versus Donnie?
No, I get it.
You get to see two guys
go head-to-head like that? Either way, I'm not going to minimize.
Ricky trying to steal on Gary Carter? Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, that's.
I'm not going to minimize the Mets' accomplishments. Now, they got to get there. I thought they were going to be there in 2023. I thought after 2022, even as bad as that was blowing that division, okay, this is the beginning of the sustained run. We've been here before, like, oh, 2006, the Mets are going to take over the town from the Yankees. And obviously they failed. The epic collapse in 2007, never recovered from there. This should be different because of the backing of King Cohen and hiring David Stearns. I thought off of 2022, they were going to make the postseason 2023 and beyond, like, especially with the expanded postseason, both the Mets and Yankees missing in 2023. All right, build it back up now, 2024. If they don't make the postseason this year, dude, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm out of answers. I'm out of going nuts. Like, they don't make the playoffs now. What are you supposed to do? You've been yelling for years about going to get the owner to spend more money. Mm-hmm. They get the owner. They spend the most money. They get the big free agent. They don't just go out there and hire mercenaries everywhere the way that they did in 2023. Like, they're trying to do it different ways. If they don't make the playoffs now with the expanded postseason where they had one of the best records for a majority of the year, I don't know what to tell you. Mercy. White flag. Then it is. Is it just about luck?
Tapping out?
Yeah.
Well, did I hear a little uncle at that point?
Yeah. Mm. I think so. Now, I expect them to make the postseason. I expect them to make it.
Hey, by the way, the same old Mets, and I can see why some people would say that. I think that's ridiculous. I think that's patently unfair.
Right. But if they do fall short again, do you think
I still don't feel that way? Dude. I still know. I mean, there's 40 something thousand there every night. No, I don't feel that way. I don't.
Well, do you think the attendance would be there next year? The way that
I mean, Soto, and you know that they, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, and I'd say that in my mind right now, it's 65-35 that they will.
Right.
Okay. But if they didn't, you know they're going to retool.
Yeah.
They're not going to take this line down here.
Agreed. No,
and they'll come back with some more stars. So, yeah, the fans will be there every night.
They'll go fighting every year. Well, I only asked that because we talked about the residual from last year.
I know.
Which led to the success in attendance this year.
Yeah, Cohen calling out the fans.
If they miss the postseason this year, fans are going to be angry.
They're going to be pissed, but they'll still be there because there's too much star power. With Soto.
Alan's calling from Freehold, New Jersey. What's up, Alan?
What up, bud?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you, Alan?
Good. You talked about a BT on Monday, the construction of both clubs. That is the gist of the problems. Getting the old guys, experimenting like the Mets with their pitching lab, like they're the only ones that came out with it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both dealing with, both of them, construction, because, again, bringing up young kids. Now the Mets don't want to bring up young kids. They have Alonso. They brought him up. But the bottom line is, and again, last night is an example. If you just give me a minute. Last night, okay, you're winning 6-0 against a guy, Carrasco, who could not pitch in a College World Series.
The game should have been over.
You're winning 6-0. But you're winning 6-0. But by the fourth inning, you're losing 9-6.
Can't happen.
So how that can be a shock? There's four quarters in a football. There's three periods in hockey. Now, Sal, you're totally right about, let's see, Manaea again is, whether he's injured or not, whatever. But Holmes pitched good for half a year. But the bottom line is, it's the whole year. You know, three quarters of the year, everybody goes through their rut.
Understood.
Ruts.
But this is right. More, this is more than just a rut. The point is, Alan.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying, Sal. Sal, that's what I'm saying. You're right about it. But like Cannon, like BT said, he was going down.
He was.
You got to think as a GM and owner for the whole year. If you win it by 42 in the NBA in the second quarter, it doesn't mean anything because you know what happened.
But Alan, you're forgetting, and thank you for the call.
Thanks, buddy.
If you're going to go over the whole year, and you're right, they're building it for the whole year. That's what Stearns did. Go over all of it. Tylor Megill, do we love him?
No.
But Tylor Megill was at least a starting pitcher who was serviceable for the Mets in the beginning part of the year. Griffin Canning, same thing. Do we love Griffin Canning? I started to really like watching him pitch.
I respect him, that's for sure.
Yeah, but again, big league starting pitcher that was doing his job. Those were the two depth arms to complement what should have been Senga, Manaea, Holmes, Montas, love him or hate him, whatever, he's a part of the rotation, and David Peterson. That's seven guys right there that should at the very least be serviceable big league pitchers. Mm-hmm. Canning down for the year. Tylor Megill has been hurt for a long time. Senga was good, then he got hurt. Manaea hurt right out of the get-go. And then you have Montas and obviously Holmes. Montas was hurt as well for the first half of the year. Mm-hmm. He comes back. Holmes, whatever, he's at least been there the whole time. And Peterson been there the whole time and been pretty good. Point is, I think Stearns did build this with the thought of the entire year. Throwing Blackburn, like, they had eight guys that you could say, hey, in case of an emergency, three deep, mm-hmm. we're good.
Yeah.
We're not dipping in the minor leagues for some double-A scrub who shouldn't be here. They were covered with at least serviceable big league starters. They got hit hard by injury, and now that they're as healthy as they've been, the guys just aren't producing.
Well, they're not. And think about the way the last caller started the call. He talked about how, I think it was the day that you were off Monday,
when
I talked about, and it was more about the Yankee construction roster-wise versus the Mets. I spent more time on the Yankees because there's bigger problems there. I'm not going to absolve Stearns, but I'm going to get some clear and distinct separation from the way Stearns built the roster than the way Cashman has, meaning I think Cashman has built a terrible roster, and I think that Stearns got here 2 years ago and had to see what the hell he had, so I got to give him some room to get off the ground here, there's no doubt. One thing on Manaea, so when he changes, and I remember saying this to you a while ago, and I almost hope it's a loose body in his arm still rather than what I'm about to say. Because my fear a little bit with Manaea, when he switched up that windup and he became Chris Sale for 18 starts, he looked like a Cy Young winner, right? Now, that's also the first time the league saw him. Now, that was last year. Now, you go to school on him with film during the offseason. So, I don't know if it's because his stuff is a little diminished because of the loose bodies or because now the league's starting to see this new delivery release point, and it's not nearly as effective. I don't know the answer.
And I doubt that the Mets brought him back thinking that he was going to be as great as he was last year, and that's what he was. He was terrific last year in that second half since he changed the arm angle. But maybe hoping that there'd be somewhere in between. Remember, they signed him the year before.
Yep.
You know, they signed him before he turned into what he did, the Sale example.
Correct.
Thinking he, and I liked him. Like, he's had some good years.
No, he was a fine pickup.
Solid. But he pitched like an ace. So even if they weren't expecting him to pitch like an ace, he's got to be better. Now, he's been hurt the whole year. He comes back, and he gives you, I'm going to say as a starter here.
Forget you got the game log in front of you?
Yes,
I do. Okay, go ahead.
So forget the game going into the All-Star break against Kansas City, where, remember, he was the second guy.
Came
the
in second,
end.
Yes.
Four innings against Cincinnati, one run. Yeah. Five innings against the Angels, one run. That's what you want. You're building your way up.
I'm getting there.
Five innings against the Padres, also one earned run allowed. That's good. Like, you're taking that, okay?
Terrific.
Even though they lost that game, How the hell they lose that game 7-1? The bullpen must have imploded. I forget that game. Anyway, it was against the Padres, mm-hmm. where they were getting swept by the Padres in San
Diego. Three good starts.
But still five. Yeah, exactly. Three good starts in a row and building his way up.
Yeah.
Next start against Cleveland. Now, this is where he starts to lose it badly when the Mets desperately needed him. At home against Cleveland, he was rolling through five innings. He implodes in the six innings. He went 5 2/3, allowing all five runs, if I'm correct, mm-hmm. in that sixth inning.
I remember.
And then last time out, he staked to a big lead mm-hmm. against Milwaukee.
Five zip.
And he goes I think it was 4-0, if I'm not mistaken. Whatever it was.
I think it was five. I think the Mets scored five runs.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then he goes four innings and allows four earned runs.
Yeah.
That can't happen. So it went from, okay, he's good, solid, what we expect, building your way up in three starts, even in the fourth start against Cleveland, and then just imploding in that sixth inning. And then last time out, unacceptably bad again with the four innings blowing that big lead. So it's been two awful starts for Manaea. Everything else has been pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm still not sure what to believe. All I know is this. If he pitches the way that he pitched the last two, they cannot survive.
I agree with that.
There's no way to survive.
The season would basically be over if he doesn't get better.
Steve Cohen may be reading some mentions. There is breaking Met news.
Uh-oh.
The manager of the New York Mets gives it to us.
Have you guys made a decision on Frankie yet?
Yeah, he's going to go to the bullpen. we had that conversation today.
Oh, wow.
He's going to throw his sigh, and then the first day that he will be available is Thursday.
Do you have a starter yet for his
No. It'll be on Saturday, but we're still having the discussion who that next guy that's going to take the baseball there.
Was it possible somebody would be called up from AAA?
It's possible. Okay. Yeah.
It's possible.
God, I kind of love Carlos Mendoza because he don't mess around.
No.
And tell us about the struggle with Frankie Montas. Yeah, he's going to the bullpen.
And Mike Puma did follow this by tweeting that he has heard McLean is ahead of Sprout to be called up.
Right Sprout.
Now. Sprout, I'm sorry.
Well, it better be McLean or Sprout. I mean, mm-hmm. this cannot be Brandon Waddell. I'm just telling you right now, you cannot give
ready.
Us. Now, Jonathan just got promoted to AAA. It's not going to be him.
Right.
It cannot be another one of those bullpen game disasters. It needs to be a stud.
So, wait, if I heard that right, he's going to start when?
No, Frankie Montas?
No, Saturday is where this turn in the rotation will come up.
Thursday is when. He's going to the bullpen now.
Yeah, Thursday is when Montas is available out of the pen. And Paul Blackburn will pitch again for Syracuse. He is not an option for Saturday. So it's clearly trending towards one of the kids.
It's got to be one of the kids. Boy, this is going to be an uncomfortable conversation because I would love to be in the building for Nolan McLean's Major League debut, and I'm going to be in North Carolina. Mm. I wonder how my wife takes the whole, hey, I'll fly back and then fly back again. You think she'll be pissed off at me?
Yeah. Definitely.
I'm just kidding.
Definitely.
I would not even try to pull that.
Just watch it on TV. Yeah.
That is one of the positive things of the David Stern era, what you just heard. And that is the word accountability.
Well, and it's mostly the deliverer is Carlos Mendoza. And the one thing I appreciate, and David Stearns does, he shows up most regularly too, but Carlos Mendoza doesn't beat around the bush. He's not trying to trick you. He's not trying to say, well, you know, we're going to make a decision. You guys will see in a couple days. Like, he doesn't do that. He just tells you exactly what's going to occur.
Yeah, but the most important thing out of this is that Frankie Montas was given $17 million a year, and despite only making, I think it's 8 starts now, the Mets said it's not good enough. Right. You're out of the rotation. And lot of teams, including this franchise, wouldn't have done that in the past.
Right, cut bait.
Yeah, and they did that last year. Now, it was on a smaller scale, but the examples were Joey Wendell, who they DFA'd, Adrian Hauser, who clearly has turned his career around this season, but remember the Mets sent him to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. They didn't mess around, so I'm not surprised because they did show us they have that track record. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad we're going to see one of the kids, even if it isn't officially announced, but it certainly seems like Nolan McLean will get that call Saturday against Seattle, and it's about damn time.
Right.
And so
who else would it be other than one of the kids? There's no one else, right?
Well, Paul Blackburn, who Sean mentioned.
But he said he's pitching Thursday, correct?
He is pitching. No, Montas is available out of the pen Thursday. Blackburn's about to start AAA. I don't know what date, but he's not available.
He's not available.
And it shouldn't be him. Like, Blackburn is probably not even going to be on this team. It certainly sounded when David Stearns met the media last week that.
But I'm asking because I feel like Met fans want to see one of the kids.
It better be.
And so it better be one of the kids. But who else would it be?
No, I just told you, Brandon Waddell. Or Paul Blackburn.
So it's not Blackburn, so it's not going to be Waddell. So
or Justin Hagenman, who's currently on the team. Like, they can't do that again. They've already done that. We saw that in the Yankee series. Enough of that. Enough of this opener garbage. It's got to be a kid who's ready, and Nolan McLean looks ready. Mm-hmm. Brandon Sproat looks ready. I know it was only in AA. Jonah Tong looks ready. I know they're not calling him up, but my point is it's got to be one of the young guys. And I confident it will be, because I think the moment is now to see what you got. Remember, they're all top 50 prospects in the sport. It's not just a Met prospect they're hyping up to you. These are kids that have pitched really, really well. One question about Steve Cohen before we get to your calls. Mm-hmm. So I read his positive tweet.
Yep.
Can I take you back to August of 2021?
Okay.
Steve Cohen owns the team.
Yeah.
Can I read you a missive that he tweeted on August 18th, 2021? Mm-hmm. And I promise you, this was Steve Cohen. And I want you to tell me if you would have preferred this. Kind of proves to me that Steve Cohen listens to Tommy Lugo. Because Tommy in 2021 would have said, Tommy, can you tell us, like, it's negative Tommy, it's 2021, the Mets are collapsing. Give us like 10 seconds of what you probably would have sounded
like. This is just typical Mets. They've been a joke forever. They've never won anything in my entire lifetime. They never will.
Thank you. Now, Tommy, today, very similar to what Steve just tweeted. Here's Steve in 2021. I'm not kidding. It's hard to understand how professional hitters can be this unproductive. The best teams have a more disciplined approach. The slugging and OPS numbers don't lie.
And he is the owner at this point.
Do you guys remember that? When he just came out and
don't remember that at all.
Yes.
He's cloning you, Tommy. Are you Steve Cohen?
Have we ever been seen in the same place at the same time?
Is there an alter ego? Because that very well might be. Sounds exactly like you. Now he sounds exactly like.
There is
Tommy.
One huge difference between Steve Cohen's positivity and Tommy's positivity. You know, Steve saying we have been playing well. I believe in this team. Very Tommy. The next sentence is not Tommy, and I quote: "I'll be at Citi Field the next three games."
Well, yeah, because he's a billionaire and someone's going to drive him to the game back and forth. I mean, it's like, you know.
I have extra tickets today. You in?
Well, I would, but I got so many things on the list here that I got to get to tonight, including watching the Met game.
I have extra tickets tomorrow. You in?
You know, tomorrow also doesn't work for me. I got to check on my schedule. I got to, you know, dinner with myself, which I can't cancel again. I got a few things going on, but I'll let you know. Maybe.
But
possibly.
The positivity of the same, the going to the game part.
Well, and
different.
Also. I don't know if we need to hear from him every day, but I never skip the podium, and he kind of like parachutes in and out.
Once a month.
He's running a different business, I think.
But we do get the same type of hate reaction tweets to the positivity, which I still don't understand from fans. It's like, we made the NLCS last year, and people are telling Steve Cohen to go take a nap.
What
kind of mentality is that?
What I am curious about is, as a Met fan, not you, because you're positive, would you rather... That tweet I read from 2021, because he could do that right now. He could say, I cannot believe how unproductive this offense is. Would you rather that or we haven't been playing well, but I believe in the team, LGM?
No.
Like, what would you rather have?
I think you got to do the latter, the one he put out.
The positive one?
The positive one.
Okay.
Because that negativity is already happening.
Yeah.
It's dead on.
When he did
and
that.
If he said it, then it would show that he was frustrated and losing faith in his team.
Well, he did it in 2021, and guess how they responded? They didn't. They collapsed.
Of course.
They ended up finishing under 500. Let us go to Dennis in Oceanside. What's up, Dennis?
What's up, Dennis?
Hello, Dennis. All right. Dennis is gone. He's actually on his way to Citi Field, so hopefully he's not in too much traffic. Let's go to Steve on Long Island. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love your show.
Thank you.
Always enjoy it.
Appreciate it.
I just want to make a correction, though. You guys got one thing wrong. You were saying that the worst coach of all time, at least for the Jets, was Adam Gase. No. The worst coach of all times, without a doubt, is Rich Kotite.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Ironically enough, they both had 32 starts. Gase had 9 wins.
And Kotite had 4. I mean, he went 1-15 and 3-13. You know what the difference was in my mind? And maybe it's because I was young when they hired Richie Kotite. And there are some similarities. Like, he went from being a fired head coach into taking the Jet job. Is that I kind of looked at Kotite in 1995. And again, I was 11. So what did I know? And thought there was a chance there would be success.
Right.
Now, maybe I was too young and naive to know better. The thing about Gase that jumps out at me was that we knew it was going to suck before it even started. But obviously, in terms of wins and losses, it is very difficult to match 3-13, 1-15, and really how awful those post-game press conferences were with Richie Kotite. So, Yeah. I mean, pound for pound, is he probably the worst coach in the history of sports in this town?
Of course.
It's certainly up there.
But we weren't really looking back that far.
Yeah, we were doing
We were kind of doing the last four coaches, five coaches.
Post Rex and post Coughlin.
Yes.
And for any Giant fan that mocks comparing Rex to Coughlin, look, they had success under Rex. I was just saying.
Right, relatively.
Right.
It's all relative.
That's all. Scott's in Jackson, New Jersey. Hey, Scott.
How you doing, guys? Listen, I mean, I think I got to make a couple points here. First, again, you've heard me say this before. This is just not a mentally tough team. There's no strong leadership on the team. I think there is value in bringing Martinez in, even as an advisor. I think he had a good effect on a team. But I think the person who's getting a pass here, and let's forget about Juan Solo for a second, who hasn't had has had very few meaningful RBIs this year, but is David Stearns. Let's be honest. He's messed up this pitching staff big time. He brought, in a year we're supposed to be going for it, he brings in a project with Clay Holmes to be the fourth starter. We knowing he's not going to be able to last the whole season in the lineup, he brings in Montas, who was a failure, and he lets Quintana go. How do you let Quintana go? And he's flourishing with a 3.5 ERA in Milwaukee. I don't understand any of it. I'll hang up and let you listen to hear you.
I think that the handling of the pitching staff is the fairest critique of David's offseason. Because even with Quintana, when they decided to let him go, if you recall, he was still out there.
Of course.
The Mets started having injuries in spring training, and I brought it up here on the show saying, hey, they got to go out and bring back Quintana.
Right, the devil you know.
Right, and the tax on him was going to be high, but when you end up seeing what the Brewers ended up paying him, you never have enough pitching depth. And so I think the biggest mistake they made was not initially saying, hey, we believe in Frankie Montas, which has been a disaster, or we believe in the project of Clay Holmes. It's once they had a chance to bring Quintana back at this discounted amount, why didn't they bring him back?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.